Good morning, my name is Anthony Umezo, I'm from PMG.
Good morning, my name is Kamila August, I'm the Director of Affordable Housing.
Good morning, Chairperson members, I'm Rob Smith, Director of Grant Management.
Good morning everyone, Donald Lockett, Management Accounting Department.
Good morning everyone,
I'm Craig Bestenbeer, I'm the Budget Controller for Human Settlements.
Good morning, Chair members, Benjamin Nkosi, Director of Strategic Support.
Thank you. At the back, also.
Albert Pancho, Department of Human Settlement, MNE.
Good morning, everybody. Marcelina Martin, Minister Spokesperson.
Thank you very much. Members, the last three members to come in, if you can quickly introduce yourself.
Rachel Heron.
Morning, everyone. Pat Merrill.
Morning, Daniel Smith.
Thank you very much. I think we received an apology from Member Lily, and that's the only apology that we did receive. Okay, without wasting any time, I don't know, HOD or Minister, is there one who wants to? Okay, Minister.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the Standing Committee, I think it's, I know that your job cycle is winding down, and so we don't want to make this too long. But obviously, we need to take cognizance of the adjusted estimates of the provincial revenue and expenditure, the adjustment appropriations bill, but also the Western Cape Gazette of Education to Municipalities that was tabled by my colleague, Minister Mania, yesterday. So I'm actually thankful for the opportunity that I could come and engage the Standing Committee on Vote 8 this morning. But I'd like to draw your attention just to a few points which ultimately creates the environment within which the Vote 8 adjustments have had to occur. Firstly, Madam Chair, our infrastructure expenditure, which was reported up until the end of September, stood at 56.4%, or which is an amount of 1.196 billion, of our main budget of 2.12 billion. This expenditure is above the national benchmark of 50%, and I think we are also the only province that has, or provincial department that has managed to attain this. Madam Chair, also that when we did the allocations, we looked at projects that has the absorptive capacity to utilize the funding till the 31st of March. Then I would like to draw the Standing Committee's attention to a few key challenges which does impact service delivery in general, and also to my department, Madam Chair. There's firstly the lack of bulk services, which restricts the rate of our capacity to roll out new residential developments, but also the upgrading of informal settlements. This is due to the escalating costs and burden thereof on local governments, and it's becoming more and more worrisome the more and more one engages the local authorities regarding the issue of bulk services. Secondly, Madam Chair, this is becoming now all too familiar phenomenon which I have discussed previously with the Standing Committee. It's the issue of land invasions, but also the issue of vandalism. One case in point is Veldrift itself, which is the most recent case I can mention to the Standing Committee, and the additional burden costs it adds to the delivery of services by our department. Then lastly, but also, Madam Chair, the issue of land invasions. It's inevitably becoming more and more apparent that the law enforcement has the inability to actually enforce the law, irrespective of which way of government that pertains to land invasions, Madam Chair. And lastly, Madam Chair, we're seeing a rapid rate of urbanization, not only to the city of Cape Town, but also to the housing regions as well. There are certain pockets that we have been monitoring this, which see the pop-up of informal settlements occurring more frequently nowadays. And this ultimately places demand on services from our local government partners, but also the need for shelter provision from us as a provincial department. So, sadly, Madam Chair, it's not just the last one is the reality. The budget does not follow what is happening in this province, and it will be becoming a more and more concerning issue moving forward over the next 3 years. Is instead of allocating more funding by national to this department, we have actually not seen that happening. But to come back to our adjustment budget, which why I'm here today, I wanted to give you the background. You will see there's a 5.7 percent increase, Madam Chair, which is a 121.74 million rand increase. When you measure it against our main budget, now the rationale for some of these movements are as follows, and you'll see the COVID resides in Program 3. You'll see there's an amount of 83.773 million rand. Now this funding was transferred to us as for provincial emergency housing grant utilization, but it only came in the latter part of the previous financial cycle, hence the rollover, Madam Chair. Under this, we received 3.415 million from the National Department during July 2019, and you all can remember the December 2018 Wuppertal disaster, which is ultimately where this funding went to. Obviously, that was unforeseeable, and it was unavoidable as well. Madam Chair, and also for the 2018-19 cycle, there's revenue retention to an amount of 54.556 million rand, which we have now approved for bulk and related infrastructure services that fall outside of the USDG realm. This includes the Pendleton and Temba Farms project sites, the Belhar CBD sites, and also an amount of 10 million rand for innovative housing solutions in George. Madam Chair, and this is the reality which we will face even moving forward into the new financial cycle, is that challenges are mounting that will have a direct and indirect impact on my department's ability to deliver services. But this also creates the need for us to work smarter and harder and together to find innovative mechanisms to deal with this reality which we are confronted with. We cannot wish it away, but also we cannot continue on business as usual. Thank you. Actually.
Thank you very much.
HOD? Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say today I'm not going to add much to what the Minister said, but just to put the committee at ease that the delivery of the department is on track. We are actually exceeding expectation as we speak. And the additional fundings that we see actually a clear demonstration that of our department's capacity to deliver and capacity to spend allocated funding. In addition to that, we even anticipate an additional funding as a good performer from non-good performers before the end of the year, which will appear in the adjustment budget, a special adjustment budget again sometime in January. So we are on a path of an accelerated delivery which actually exceeds expectation. So we are quite comfortable that the resources of the department are well managed, the performance is exceeding expectation, we are even anticipating even more than the few rands and cents that we are talking about here within the course of this year. But for the details with regard to where these figures of the adjustments are going to, I will hand over to my CFO to take you through one by one. Francois?
Chairperson, do you want me to go through the budget, the adjustment budget, or are you going to lead us?
Okay, I will lead you. Thank you very much. Members, we are dealing with the adjustment budget, and it will be from page 183. Any questions? Yes. Member Derek, and who's the second one? Member Brett Heron and Member Maran, Member Conversation.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to confirm myself solely with the adjustment figures presented. I have noticed on page 186, just one further information with regard to sub-program 3.2, financial interventions. Further down, sub-program 3.3, incremental intervention. Reclassification of financial interventions to incremental interventions for the funding of departmental projects, 95,963,000. It's just I don't know if it is semantics, but you know, can you just give more clarity in terms of what that actually means, that 95 million rand. And then further down, the last sentence in that table, it's sub-program 4.2, housing, properties maintenance, goods and services provision for municipal service costs. What does that entail? Is it rates and those kind of costs that is envisaged? And then the 10 million rand to the George municipality, does that relate to the Louis for redevelopment, or is it what kind of, you know, what's the intention behind that particular allocation? Because the minister stated that one consideration is that look at where capacity is to spend the money, and certainly you know, that would possibly give an explanation for that. And lastly, Madam Chair, is that on page 191, it's a summary of the revenue sort of appropriation. Housing development, 34,556,000 rand. Program 3, housing development, 83,773,000 rand. For emergency housing grant, specifically allocated to the Cape Metro. Why is the Cape Metro, and I know that, you know, the need is much greater in the Cape Metro, but certainly, as recent history has shown, is that in other regions of the province there may also become a need for emergency allocation, and why is that not being considered in terms of this particular allocation? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, I'm going to ask that, because we have limited time, that when you ask questions, just ask questions, don't motivate it, so that you can get the clarity if the question hasn't been answered to your understanding. Work with me. Member Breton.
Thanks, Chair. I have the same question as Member America about the an explanation around the incremental financing, so we'll get that answer. I can't recall if Member America asked about this virement of 43 million rand. I wasn't listening, but if he didn't, I would like to understand the difference. We're virementing 43 million rand from transfers to households to various municipalities. And then if I look at the bill for the transfers to municipalities, I don't see 43 million, I see 53 million. So maybe there's something wrong with my accounting, but can we just explain, where's the 10? Oh, okay, maybe it's explained there. Maybe I have the answer. But let's hear it from the department. Just if I go to the bill on the transfers to the municipalities, on page 19 of the bill, there's the HSDG and the adjustments to the HSDG allocations. On page 20. And there's quite, for example, Breda Valley, there's a reduction of 80 million. And in George, there is, if I understand this correctly, an adjustment of 146 million. So if we can just get an explanation as to what is happening with those large-scale adjustments of the HSDG allocated to those municipalities.
Thank you very much. Member Maran?
Chair, thanks very much, and good morning to everyone again. On the 10 million, Chair, to George, I also want to have an explanation. Why Chair, and I'm not sure whether it's linked. If you remember in the annual report in the 7 non-metro areas, 5 out of those areas, and I've told the MEC, he hails from the Southern Cape. And 5 out of those 7 non-metro areas is in the Southern Cape, of which George is one of them. Now, this 10 million rand, is it linked to that particular program which says that those will be priority areas, Chair?
Thank you, Member Andrikas.
Honourable Chair, I trust that some of these projects have been identified even before the elections in May of this year. Can I just ask on page 186, in terms of the Program 3, housing development and the almost 25 million rand for bulk infrastructure, the MEC raised, I think, a critical issue, and that is the issue of bulk infrastructure constraints that we have in many of our growing communities, and also the demands on bulk infrastructure gets higher and higher as environmental legislation and so on requires of us. Would you be able to just expand? You're mentioning a number of contributions that you will be making to the bulk infrastructure, but those are all in the city of Cape Town, and I do know that many of our rural towns are also struggling with the costs of and the speed of bulk infrastructure provision. If you would just expand and assure us that we are not going to increase the backlog, but that the speed of implementation or funding for bulk infrastructure would be sufficient to support the top structures. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Member Smith, are you covered? Okay. HOD?
I want to hand over to our CFO, who will cover all the first questions, and he will delegate upwards those that you have a glitch for.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you, members, for the questions. I'm going to work through the pages, and it might not be in the same sequence that the members asked the questions. The 43 million that we've reallocated from. From transfers to households to transfers to municipalities. That was in relation with the revenue retention for the previous year, the money that we already received up to December, and then it was front-loaded in the main budget. We waited for business plans from certain municipalities. We got those business plans, and then now we allocated to those specific municipalities. I can give you the detail on that. Botrivier, Tierwaterskloof, there's a community hall that they need a top-up funding of 1 million rand. In Mossel Bay, there's the Kailitsa project that we putting an additional 13 million. It's a very old project with its own issues. Sonskind Valley, we had a pump station and a rising main that was needed there, 2.5 million. And then there's some external toilets that we, for the most vulnerable and old people, that we want to upgrade and make part of their houses. That's 9.5 million rand. Oudtshoorn, they've got we've got a project in Dijsselsdorp that needs bulk infrastructure. The additional 4 million is going for bulk services there. And in Saldanha Bay, there was an application for external toilet eradication of 13 million rand. Then, so we took it away from us, our own budget, and we gave it to the municipalities to address their specific needs. Then the reclassification of the financial interventions, there was originally an amount of 243 million rand. The OPSCAP amount there is 100 million rand. A lot of money was allocated towards consultants on that specific one, As and when the project's been approved, those consultancy fees have been capitalized. So we're moving it to the specific projects. The IRDP, the incremental interventions, it's IRDP projects where it's mostly on our catalytic projects where that money is shifted to. Also, we shifted money from individual subsidies also to that specific projects that is running, and it also links nicely with those the bigger one, the that counts, that Member Heron spoke about, the one in George, where there's a big increase. So on that specific Syferfontein, that and Thembalethu, we are accelerating there, and it's good performance there. So we needed to shift money to those incremental IRDP projects. Then on the 24 million rand, 556, return for bulk infrastructure within the department. It's for our catalytic projects, whereby we accelerating, and the city of Cape Town is not yet, doesn't have enough USDG money available for us due to the acceleration of those specific projects, and we don't want any projects to be stalled. As soon as something is stored, it's been vandalized and so on. We want momentum, and that's the reason why we're moving it there. Then provincial for municipal services. Remember, we've got a lot of land as well, and we need to pay the city of Cape Town. Sometimes there's water that needs to be paid for. There is service charges, but it's not for rates. Rates is treated separately. Then, on the 83 billion for housing development, that was the rollover that was approved. That is for specifically for it was a Schedule 7 grant from the National Department of Human Settlements, provincial disasters, and that was specifically for that Silvertown and Kosovo communities. So that's why it's been spent within the metro. Then, I already referred to the 34 million and consisting out of the 10 million for George and the 24 million for our own projects. The revenue retention money, where every year we've got a budget for revenue as well, as part of our allocation. So we allocated 60 million for revenue, but at the end we collected 140 million rand, so that the difference it's been allocated back to human settlements. And then on the Gazette, Vrede Vallei, that's linked to the TransX project that is not moving as fast as we anticipated. We specifically on the top side, there's a problem. And then also on the 94 that we took away there, that is, we just indicate what is being spent by the department in themselves in that specific municipality, so that they can address the issues of the Auditor General. By if we only gazette the total amount of money, then it's a problem for them, because they don't receive that money. And I indicated that in George, we're accelerating on that specific one, and therefore we had to give additional money to that municipality. Again, the 146 is being spent by us as a department in conjunction with the municipality, but we've contracted directly with the contractors. Minister, I don't know what, if you want to say any more. Yeah, the emergency grant, thank you to the chairperson through you. The emergency, right, okay, we've done one in Wuppertal as well, with the fires, as Minister indicated, the 3.4 million, and it's again as from the same grant from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Minister?
Madam Chair, yes, I do take note of Member Heron's suggestion that things are going one way, not always. But if you listen to when I opened up, I said, you know, we looked at projects that have absorbed of capacity. And if you listen to what the COF has just alluded to, why funds are going from TransX, yet we could give George extra money, it's because that specific project have absorbed of capacity. Now, built into that, and where this 10 million is going, there's an area called Syferfontein in George, which has been an informal settlement for more than 28 years. It's actually situated on a previous dumping site, which has become very toxic, and we need to decant that area, and that's where we're moving the people, because that's ultimately part of phase 2 and 3 of the bigger Syferfontein project. But I can guarantee the member that we actually do engage municipalities to ask them, do you have the capacity to utilize any additional funding by the 31st of March, yes or no? Now, from the West Coast, which is where you come from, and even in the Central Karoo and the Overberg area, We do ask them, and they will tell us, honestly, no, Minister, we can't. We'd rather wait out that time. So as my HOD has alluded to, with a special adjustment in February, should we get additional funding, we will ask the same municipalities again, because they're moving ahead, and even into the new budget cycle, Madam Chair. But the reason why this provincial department has done so well to be able to spend is to ensure that we allocate the funding to where projects can actually absorb the funds which we allocate to them. In other provinces, the opposite is happening. We rather work smarter than work harder in the long run. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member Andrikas and Member Maran.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask whether the delays in the rollout of the project in Overex has got anything to do with political interference by a member of this legislature.
Madam Chair, sorry.
I'm not going to allow anyone to respond to
Madam Chair, to that.
Maybe Minister?
Just to come back, because I was just, if member Maren, in the Extraordinary Gazette on page 19 at the bottom, just indicate that the West Coast is not left behind. You'll see there's additional funding to Matsikama, Cedarburg, Swartland, Stellenbosch, and Kapagallis is obviously the Overberg, and Kapagallis is part of the Overberg. So if you read through the Extraordinary Gazette, you'll note, and if you continue on page 20, you'll see the same. But like I said, it's projects that have absorptive capacity. Okay, but important to
sort it. Okay, and then maybe to restructure the question of the delay of Transex, what are the reasons?
Thank you, Jefferson. The reason that we are implementing alternative building technology on the top structure aspect of it, and the contractor, there were some challenges with respect to NHBRC enrollment and agreement certification that we had to overcome. So that's why the delay is there. And initially, we could not find any responsive bids when we went out the first time around. So we had to re-advertise in order to find responsive and compliant bids.
That's one thing that maybe the standing committee, we have to sometimes just get educated about the bids, who going to get there, to have an understanding, because what we get the complaints of is like it's one of the same people who are getting those contracts, and the locals, it's difficult for them to get the contract. Member Maran?
Okay, thanks. And the official gave the reasons for, but instead, the honourable member blamed me, wants to put the blame on me, why? Okay. Yes, no, it's, in the previous financial year, it was 25 million rand, if I'm correct. 5 million rand that was taken away from Breedevale municipality, also on the Transex. I was still a councillor there then. And now there's like 80 million rand. Instead of blaming the governing party in the municipality, he's blaming me, Chair. That's the one. Chair, in the annual report meeting, and sorry for going back, and the minister is consistently saying that it's the only projects which can absorb these amounts of monies. And we have asked for a list, besides the five, that in the annual report, basically, that can which will get special attention. If they have sent the list, then it's my mistake, but I have not received it, Chair. Because it's difficult to believe, Chair.
Go on. The coordinator is talking to me. Sorry for...
Yes. So it's difficult to believe that George is the only municipality that can absorb all these amounts of monies. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it. So, because if that's the case, then smart planning and spending money-wise is then not true. If there's only one municipality that can absorb all these monies that's allocated to him, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Member Herron. You are covered. Okay, I just want to, from my side, I just want to find out the, I see on page 186, there is where you are talking about the money that has to be retained for bulk infrastructure not funded from the urban, and I see the Bella Central business there. Maybe if I can get the reasoning behind Bella being funded by the department, where does the money go that is not spent in the city itself for bulk services?
With regard to the first statement you made, Madam Chair, with pertaining to what it, there is also a perception that these contracts are going to only the same contractor. That is not true with regard to Human Settlements Provincial Government. May have happened maybe elsewhere, but not in this department. And if you want to actually corroborate the statement I'm making, just go to Annexia A of the annual report just passed. That will tell you it have an extraordinary story to tell where the contracts are going and who are doing it, by name, by quantity, by value, and it's not the same. And the fortunate part is, when you look at these, you see newcomers coming in as players into the mainstream of the construction industry in this province. So it is not true. If people say it, that esni di irla kavari. Then the next one is a statement that was made about the list of priorities of the minister. It is not, we don't have only the priority list that the minister listed. The priorities of this department, the priority projects of the provincial government Department of Human Settlements, it have 22 priority projects. Twi and Twanda. It starts from Greater Retreat, it moves to the Southern Corridor, it goes into Bella, it moves to Transex, it moves into Flakkerland, it moves to Plettenberg Bay, it moves to George, it moves to Nizna, it now is going coming towards Malmesbury, and it goes to Sultana. So it is not only the ones that were mentioned, but there are 22 provincial priority and catalytic projects driven by this department, and they are deemed super priority. And where those projects is the projects that we are driving predominantly directly as the department in cooperation with the municipalities. And when they have absorptive capacity, you take the resources from one to the other area. And that's what actually is happening. It's not only the 10, the 7, yeah. Then the issues about the 86 million, I'll leave it to page 1, page 8, 186 to Francois. The issues about Bella. Bella is a provincial catalytic project. It's actually a better living challenge project currently being implemented with people already living on it and delivering and oozing numbers of the game changing that you want to achieve on a weekly basis. If you go to Bella now, you see construction is in progress. If you go to Bella now, you'll see people living. There are military veterans on a queue and they're packed and they're all in their houses. On the next side, Zamupen Lumbus, I'm nearly done, Chair, Madam Chair.
Please work with me. We still have time that we have to give to the public if they are there to ask the questions. So try to answer the questions. And the question was direct that the bulk services for Bella, why are you, while the city have got the money that they don't spend?
The Bella CBD is a provincially led project. It is funded from the province, but it's also partly supposed to be funded also from the USDG. We did submit a claim to the city. We are waiting for them to pay the department for some of the pressures that are falling within the bulk infrastructure that was put into the development, which meets the criteria of the USDG. So they are actually having our applications there. We are waiting for them to respond to that. If that comes, it will reimburse us from the work already being done. So that's where we are. But for now, we cannot stop the work waiting for the city. We need to continue delivering. And the bulk, I want to say it again, the bulk infrastructure that have been actually provided for Belha CBD did not only benefit Belha CBD, it benefited the broader Belha area, which actually have not only the high income but the low income communities. Roads have been widened. Bulk infrastructure, subterranean water infrastructure was put in. Electricity bulk infrastructure was installed. All of that doesn't benefit only Belha CBD. It benefits the broader Belha area up until Symphony Way. So we are waiting. We did submit our application to the city. We are waiting for their feedback. You must understand, when it comes to the USDG, we are not the receiver of the grant, and neither are us the transferer of the grant. We are an applicant. We apply for the funding from the city, and it is the city's prerogative to determine whether they give it to us. So that grant is theirs. We apply, and then we await from the approval authority, which is themselves, to say we give you so much. But that, while we are applying, doesn't necessarily mean that we stop. We are not going to fold our arms and just watch. What we are doing, we are in the interim continuing with the project because we know the value it adds to the Western Cape citizenry.
Thank you very much. Member Maran, the information of the project has been sent to us now twice. It's on electronically plus manually. So if you want, we can send it the third time now.
Yeah, Chair. But it's fine. I've heard no from the OHOD, there's 22. But in the annual report, the MEC, these words was, I have identified 7. So they did. No. I can show you the exact words of the MEC where he said, I have identified
okay.
7 non-members. So it seems, Chair, that the department got 22, the MEC got its own 7.
Let me continue to Chair, and let's continue. Is there any question maybe from the public at the back there? Okay, if you can come, there's an open chair here, sir. Just identify yourself and ask the question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Johan Rademeyer. I'm an ex-councillor in Drakenstein. I've spoken to the minister as well a few times. Thank you very much for having me. My plea is just this morning that we should have a look at the situation with gap housing outside the metro. We've heard about USDG backwards and forwards. That is funds that is not applicable to the B municipalities outside the metro. I've often said that the five B municipalities around the metro is in actual fact the belt that holds up the pants of Cape Town, because all the spillover from the city comes into our areas and we don't have the funding to in actual fact put services in the ground. Now, with the integrated urban development grant that has now become available to the municipalities, unfortunately I've worked with engineers for 30 years, but MIG has now disappeared for those municipalities and they're getting the IUDG. So obviously everybody's got their little grubby fingers on those fundings. Now, in my specific municipality, Drakenstein, I think it's about 12 million. It was an additional allocation, but that is now disappearing into this big pool where they're putting services into the ground. Other than, in my estimation, some of those fundings should, in actual fact, be allocated to mitigate the DCs leveled against developers. I can mention one specific project where the DCs for 150 opportunity project was 9 million rand. That equates to about 60,000 rand per opportunity. If you look at the cost of erecting that type of building, that equates to between 12 and 15 square meters of house that in actual fact disappears down the drain because the developer has to fund that out of his own pocket. Now, if we can get the B municipalities on the same level as opposed to the city, the metros, where we in actual fact only ask for a request for proposal for top structure with services or DCs eliminated, where the contractor is just responsible for the internal services, we can in actual fact or the construction industry can in actual fact deliver a much better product. If you look at the average house of say about 50 square meters in the gap in the first market, and you can make that house for instance 65 square meters, imagine the actual wealth growth over a period of 20 years from a 50 square meter house to a 65 square meter house. What is the intention of getting people into the gap market? The intention, in my estimation, is to create wealth. 20 years down the road, we want that person to, in actual fact, be able to go to a bank and say, I have a property unencumbered, and I would like to borrow some money against my property to put my children through university. Now, once again, the difference in wealth growth over 20 years on a 50 square meter house as opposed to a 65 meter square house, I needn't make the sums for you, it's very easy in actual fact. So my plea is that the minister should fight a lot harder to in actual fact enable the B municipalities to grant the construction industry the something similar to what they have for USDG, but in the IUDG, so that we can in actual fact only supply top structure, same as what the city is supplying, a better product to the betterment of our environment and our people. And we are really battling to get the gap housing off the ground outside the metros, and it's not just the Western Cape, it's a national problem, and we don't seem to have a solution to our question of how do we fund it. Thank you very much, madam.
Thank you very much. Is there another person that wants to contribute? No.
HOD or Minister, are you going to comment on the submission?
Mr. Rada Meyer actually touched on things that are very important, and we think that we are not differing from his view. We concur. Fortunately, Human Settlements is actually already busy with gap housing. We are going to do gap housing outside of the metro in Flakkaland. We are doing gap housing outside of the metro in Transex. We are doing gap housing actually in George, say for Fontaine. We are going to be going to Dalio Safat, are with me? So we are actually already there. We have released properties at no cost, as this department, outside of this metro, to developers for them to provide gap housing. We've done that. This department have done that. So we concur with him that they need support. We did provide the support within the ambits of our authority out of the metro. We certainly do that. And all catalytic projects that we are referring to, it's actually having this mixed use. We have mixed use in it. We have gap, we have flip, we have open market, we have rental, we have everything that you consider to make that community integrated. And that's where we want developers that have the appetite to work with government to pitch. Not for them to go to another direction, to pitch in those areas where we are. The Human Settlements family have resolved to have what we call them, Pillar E Urban Development, Human Settlements, HD,
human settlement bank.
No, the Human Settlements Development Areas that we have identified,
okay.
which we have 20, do we have 22 for the Western Cape?
Yes.
We have received an approval for 19 thus far.
Yes.
Are with me? The reason for that in the Human Settlements family is to make sure that people do not just go and build wherever they deem fit, but for them to actually go to specific areas which have been prioritized as the critical urban development areas. And then if the private sector goes there, we will be able to channel water and sanitation infrastructure budget, education infrastructure budget influence, higher education influence, human settlement, and bulk subterranean infrastructure. Fortunately, the Human Settlements family, can I talk about only our family, the Human Settlements family have resolved that the B municipalities need to receive the priority just as the metros have been receiving the USDGs. The noises have been made, and they have been made, and they have been made, and they have heard it. Hence, in 2020, Peter, ne? The 2020, there will be a special grant meant for municipalities which are predominantly falling within the B categories. That will be a grant that is similar to the USDG. So that actually, Mr. Redermeyer's concern will be actually covered there. However, if you want to pitch, it did not go links and rechts, you must pitch onto the projects where we are. Provincial priority, catalytic. We have already put in the subterranean infrastructure.
Thank you very much, HOD. Thank you. Switch off the mic. Okay. Thank you very much. And Mr. Redermeyer, thank you very much for your contribution. I think in principle, what Mr. Redermeyer, I think the department will have an open mind about it. With your reduced spend, he's saying innovation, engage with the private sector to make sure that there are other options that you look at, that you check what does the private sector say they can do to help the department, not just Western Cape, to the housing policy as it is, has been for a very long time. We have to have some changes that we put in place so that they can talk to what is the demand now. So that open mind have to be in place to engage with the stakeholders, which are the developers and the people that are specializing out there to build houses for all those municipality workers. That goes for pension without having the houses, which are the gap housing, those nurses that are in informal settlements, those ambulance workers that are in the informal settlements. So that's all that he's saying has to happen. I think from the standing committee and myself, thank you very much. I'm going to release the department, and it's our last standing committee for this year. So be safe out there and have a wonderful holiday season with your family. And God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.